that we could touch, and God is speaking, and there's a terrible sight. But rather, we're come to Christ, who we do not see, but we believe in him yet. And he does speak to us, though we do not hear the voice of words. Even if I speak to you, you hear my voice, right? But whether or not you believe me is determined by the voice you're hearing, not from me, but from heaven. When God says to you, it rings true, it's the voice from heaven. That's why when people say, well, how do you know your experience was of God? How do you know it wasn't a devil? I said, well, I do not think it would, since it came with righteousness, right? And it mirrored the experience of the apostles as much as I could see. And I can only imagine that it's foolish to refuse that which comes from heaven. Because if God suffered a devil, well, what am I going to do? And since I have no way of telling, other than by using my own intellect, which I can't rely on, it would be wiser rather to believe what happened when God gave me the Holy Ghost. I would rather believe that. Because if it was not God, knowing that is not going to impress God. Knowing that is not going to help me escape. Knowing that is not going to save me. But if it was God and I refuse him, what's that going to be for me? What is that going to do to me? Not good. Not good. So they did not escape who refused him to speak on earth. I mean, when God came down to earth in the fire and the pillar of cloud, how much more should we escape? We're not going to escape either. Because we have a better... People say, well, I wish I could have been back then and see that. In the Bible, they teach that that was not a good way to meet God. I'd rather have God speaking and directing my life imperceptibly. Or nearly imperceptibly. I mean, he did definitely made himself perceptible to me at some point, at several points. But he that speaks from heaven is better. It's a better covenant, better promises. Believe and receive the voice that speaks. Let's not turn away from him. The voice shook the earth. But again, God's saying, I'm going to shake the earth again. This is Habakkuk 2. Not the earth only, but also heaven. You know, it means the removing of all things that offend, that are shaken. You know, he will remove out of his kingdom all things that offend and that which do iniquity, it says in the Gospels. But here he says, you know, that which can be shaken, that which cannot be shaken should remain. And only that which, you know, remember Jesus, he said, he that heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them, he is like someone who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended and the winds blew and the house did not fall. But who builds his house on the sand is he that does not listen, does not do what I say. They hear it, but they don't do it. And so, their house is shaken. So those things which can be shaken will be shaken. Those things which cannot will remain. So we build ourselves on the rock, on Christ, on obedience to his word, on faith in his word, on doing his word. So we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. The kingdom cannot be moved. We are part of it. Let's have grace. Let's not fail of the grace of God, but let's follow it. Let's believe in it. Why disbelieve in the grace of God? Because to disbelieve in the grace of God is the same thing as failing it. You know, I don't know if God's being gracious to me or not. Don't do that. Don't lay a hold on that. Maybe you feel it. Okay, the feeling is all right. But do not lay hold on it. Do not believe it. Don't turn aside. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. As a father to his son, he has corrected us. Let us fear and reverence him as a good child should their parents. Though I think the country I live in, that sort of whole relationship is so screwed up that people don't even understand it anymore. Though they might have they may have some idea. I feel like by instinct there are so many things I understand that were given to me by revelation and by a gift of God that sometimes I wonder how deeply I have to explain it. Because I look around and I see so much misunderstanding. So I feel like, oh, it has to be explained. God is a consuming fire. He is a fire which consumes. He consumes that which may be burned. We need to be made out of things which cannot be burned. Things which He has made to remain. Things which He has made not to be burned by fire, but purified, like gold. Gold isn't burnt up. Yeah, it's melted, of course. But it is purified by fire. It is not destroyed. It's not really changed. You know, you take a bar of gold, it melts into a liquid, and then cools into a solid. What if you do the same thing to wood or hay? It doesn't come back. You know, like when you burn straw, if you cool it off and pour water on it, you don't get a little pile of melted straw. It's still straw. A little stack. No. Just get ashes, and all the virtue has been consumed in the fire. We want to be built of things that are pure. God is purifying us and taking things out of us to make us into things which endure, into things which cannot be burned in His presence, but rather to bring us in the fire with Him. You know, He maketh His angel spirits and ministers a flame of fire.